In Deuteronomy chapter 7, I love the book of Deuteronomy. It's a great book, as all the Bible is, but Deuteronomy is one of my favourite books. The Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1 to 3 says this here: "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me." And then in Joshua 2 and verse 10, it says these words too. Joshua 3 and verse 10. "And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will drive, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites." So we see that God's judgment was upon these nations, and the Lord had told Israel that when they were coming into the land of Canaan, the new land that God had promised to give them, that he would destroy these nations, that they were to destroy them. And if you read the portions, there was to be no mercy shown because these nations were given over to judgment. And if you read in different portions in Deuteronomy 2, you'll read that because of their wickedness, God was driving them out. And God said to Israel, look, don't you say it's because we're a good nation that I'm bringing you in. Because he said, you have disobeyed me many times. But he said, it's because of the wickedness of these nations that I'm driving them out. And God so told them that they were to destroy them. Now, when we turn to Joshua 9, 1 and 2, it's really lovely when you consider this. Nations gathered together against Israel. And we read that in verse 2, that the nations, those six mentioned here, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So they came together. There must have been thousands upon thousands of them came together to fight against Israel. And yet in verse 3, how wonderful it is. "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willfully or slyly." And you know what they done. And it's lovely here that here's Gibeon, and there was four cities concerned with him. They realized that when they heard about Joshua, they were afraid, very much afraid. And although all the other nations gathered themselves together, and they were part of those nations, they did not join with them. They were afraid because of what they had heard. And you know, it's lovely to think that even the word of God, and you and I would give it out or speak to others, we may not say something, but people hear. And in a time when it suits the Lord, God can bring it to their mind and to their memory. And you'll notice that it says, I think, 3 or 4 times in this, when Gibeon speaks, they said, about hearing, we heard this. And they had heard what God had done, and they were smitten. And you know, they did not want to go with the other nations to fight against Israel. I mean, you think of it, there were they in the middle of them. And all these nations around them, these people were Hivites that God had said you'd be destroyed. But yet they were fearful. And you'll find this, what did they say? In verse, it says, "Here, heard what Joshua had done." Now, when they came to Joshua, they didn't mention Ai or Jericho, because Joshua would have known then that they didn't live too far away, because this had just happened. But they mentioned Egypt. So they had heard all then about what happened in Egypt. They had heard about how God had delivered Israel out of Egypt. And they heard these things, and they were filled with fear. And you'll notice it was the fear of God working amongst this people. And that's what I wanted to speak on, just when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho, unto Ai, they did work willingly and went as made as if they had been ambassadors. So you know what they'd done? They brought all these things with them because they had heard what Joshua had done. Their hearts were full of fear. The other nations, they may have been afraid, but they gathered themselves together to fight. But Gibeon was looking for mercy. And you know, in verse 4, they devised a plan. And if you read it, it says of old things, and they took old sacks upon their asses, wine bottles old and rent and bound up, old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy, it was old too. And you know, it's just a thought, but it was devised a plan of old things. Everything they brought with them was old, to give the deception, of course, that they travelled a long, long journey. And you know, we do read in Jeremiah 6 and 16 that we have not to forsake the old paths. And I just thought these people had brought old things, and when the Israelites looked at them, when Joshua looked at them, they were taken in, and they were certainly deceived. But you know, while you and I can't be deceived by God's word, I'm not suggesting that in the meantime at all, but we have to remember the old paths. Today is a day when people want all new things. They want new things done to bring people into the church. Now, we know we should try certain things, singing, so on, maybe solos, and as we do, and other things of God. And certainly we have family nights and all that. But I'm talking about things that depart from the word of God. We don't need to do anything like that. We just have the old things. As God said in Jeremiah 6 and 16, to the old paths, return to the old, ask for the old paths. And here were these people, and they came, and they lied about their city. They lied about where they were. And you'll notice that they did say this a few times, that they had come from a far distance. They were Hivites. They were under the judgment of God. There was no doubt they were to be destroyed like the rest of these nations because of the sins of these people. And you know, you and I, of course, were under the judgment of God. We were sinful. We were born in sin. We were sinners by nature and by practice, and we were under the judgment of God, but God had mercy upon us. And that's a lovely thing. And as I read this portion, I thought of it. Here was people, and they knew what was going to happen to them. They knew all about this. And they actually says it too. They actually told Joshua, we'll read that in a minute. And verse 9 of this chapter says, if you read it, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. So they had heard this. And this now was, remember, this was 40 years had passed, because the children of Israel were in the wilderness 40 years. So when they came out of Egypt, and now they were crossed over, and they destroyed Jericho and Ai. But these men had heard even about Egypt and all that had happened. And of course they knew about Ai, and they knew about Jericho. And they were fearful for their lives. But notice what they do say, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. It wasn't so much even what Joshua did, but they had heard of the fame of God. They had heard of his great name. And it does say, we have heard the name of the Lord, and it's in capitals, Jehovah, thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. And you know, God was working with these people. They were filled with the fear of God, and they were fearful for their lives. And verse 10, his fame, it says his works in Egypt, they had heard all about that. And what he did unto the two kings, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, Og, the king of Bashan, who were famous kings, giants, and they had heard about all this, and they were fearful. And then verse 11, they say this, make a league with us, make a covenant with us, that's what we want, and we will be your servants. And you know, when Joshua and the children of Israel looked at these things, they were a suspect, but when they saw the old clothes, the old shoes, the old garments, and everything that they had was old, and the old bread and moldy, they were taken in. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment, these people, of course, lied. They deceived Israel. And you remember, of course, just a while before this, Rahab, she deceived her own people. She told them lies. Oh, the spies, they went out. They were here, but they've gone. So she lied too, but why? I mean, remember, these people were unsaved, or they were fearful for their lives, and they lied. But they hid the servants of God. Rahab hid the servants of God, and she was fearful of God, and she hid the servants. And as you know, she was delivered because of her faith in the Lord. And these people, although they lied, why did they lie? Because they were afraid for their lives. They weren't so much afraid of even the nations around them who would come back to them, as they did. They were afraid of the Lord God. And you know, I was just thinking when I read this, this is a day in which we live. Oh, that we might see the fear of God. Oh, that we might pray more and more that the fear of God would come. And you know, I do believe it's possible. When you think of all these nations that were gathered, and here was Gibeon and the three other cities, and they were the ones who were fearful, not of battle, because you'll read also that they were mighty men. It tells you that the nations around them said, Gibeon was a mighty city, and the men thereof were men of valor and courage, but the fear of God had struck them. And they were fearful for their lives because they believed that judgment was coming. And they looked to Joshua and came to him. And you know, that's lovely to know it. And they asked for a covenant. And verse 12, this our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. Now behold, it is dry and it is mouldy. And they showed them the bottles of wine again and everything that they had. And you read in verse 14, and the men that is Israel took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And you know, I was just thinking to it'd be very easy in these days, even for believers, we can be deceived with things around us. Just taking things in appearance, you can be deceived. But I'm just thinking of people come around your door, Jehovah Witnesses, so called, or Mormons, anything like that. They're all dressed very well. Usually speak very well, very pleasant and all, but they're false prophets. And you know, you have to be careful, haven't you? And others are even nice. Some ministers in the pulpits today, very nice people. Oh, he's so nice, a minister, our minister's so nice, but maybe telling the people that their good works will get them to heaven, and don't be worrying. So people can be deceived by appearance. And Joshua and Israel were taken on. But you know, it was a mercy to God, really. And we find out then that they believed what they saw. They asked not the Lord. And Eve, remember Eve, when she took of the fruit, she was deceived. It looked pleasant to the eyes. A tree to be desired to make one wise. And Eve fell. And then, of course, we know Adam fell. And then Achan, just previous to this, remember he saw the goodly garment and the silver. And he took of it. He saw with his eyes and he coveted. And you know, it's very easy. And Gibeon feared God. They had heard. They knew also about Jericho and Ai. They knew what had happened to these cities. And they were terrified. In verse 15, Joshua made peace with them. Made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. And here was a covenant made that these people would be safe. That they would be able to be amongst them and safe. And yet God had told them at the start that these nations were to be destroyed. But it shows you the goodness of God, that even although you and I were under the judgment of God, yet God had mercy on us. And if we had died in our sins, we would have died under judgment and been lost forever. And although these people were under the judgment of God, yet we see in this chapter mercy shown. And you know, I'm thinking of John 17, verse 2, where the Lord Jesus, in that great high priestly prayer, he prays those lovely words. Sometimes on these wee shelves, there's not much you're holding it, and your notes can go flying. John 17, verse 2 just says this, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And the Lord Jesus Christ had made a covenant, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit, that God had given them all that would believe in Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ would die and pay the price for all of those, his people. For everyone that would believe in him, he would pay the price in full. And that's lovely to know. And you know, deception, and then it was revealed. We read then in verse 16 of chapter 9, "And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbours and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day." Their cities were Gibeon, Chepaha, I think it's called, Beroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. "And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel." And you know, they didn't do anything there, because they had indeed sworn unto these people, and no harm came to them. And Joshua in verse 23, then he says this, Joshua says, "Now therefore ye are cursed, there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." And again they say this, "And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing." So they had heard it. They had heard all that God had said would happen. And they knew that judgment was coming, and the fear of God took control of them. And thank God they went for mercy. We know they didn't tell the truth, but it was their whole plan was to have deliverance, to have mercy shown to them. And they became servants. Joshua, actually, the people wanted them just to be drawers of wood and hewers of drawers of water and hewers of wood. But Joshua said to them, have you noticed, made them that day, verse 27, hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day. And here were these men, they were brought in as slaves or servants, and they labored then, and they became this. But what happened? They were servants at the altar. And they were brought in, and the judgment never fell upon them because the promise was given to them. And we know that the Lord blessed this, because in the next chapter, when you read the six nations got together, and it says this, verse 1, "And it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, it's one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto the other kings, come up unto me," verse 4, "and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." So here was Gibeon now surrounded by these nations. And if you read on in the chapter, you'll find in verse 6, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." And verse 8, the Lord says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee." And Joshua delivered Gibeon out of the enemy's hands. And these people that had joined now with Israel were no longer under judgment, but became, as it were, partners with them, and were with them indeed. And all because the fear of God. And you know, I hope you see those things too, but I think as you read it, you will see it was the fear of God that brought these people. And I think more and more that we should pray for that today. And every day, I know I pray it often in my own home, that the fear of God would come. amongst our people, in our land, in our nation, because if it was ever needed, it's needed today. And I think from this we can learn that these people were delivered because the fear of God was in their heart. And although they, as I say, they deceived Joshua, yet the outcome was, it was because they feared God and they wanted to be saved from that judgment which was truly coming to them. Now, there are some announcements I just want to make before we get to prayer. I did forget to mention Sunday, so I'll announce it today, but there will be a service on Sunday at 3 p.m. again. It's the Royal Black Service, and they're due to come here this Lord's Day at 3. Do remember Dr. Brown on the Lord's Day, and remember him as he travels home from Liverpool after taking that funeral service. Remember our sick ones. There are many of them. I'm just going to say that William Beattie is improving, and Sally also, and pray that he will be able to walk. Once he's able to get on his feet, the hospital will let him home, but he's unable to climb the stairs, and Sally couldn't manage him at this time. So do please pray for him to that end. And all others that I know of, have been in touch with many, are improving, and do pray for them, please. God would bless them. Now, I'm sure some of you have got word from our brother Austin today. It's missionaries in Afghanistan who are under threat of execution, and in Iraq, 229 in total. And the largest Christian city in Iraq, where hundreds of these are being executed, are Quora Kash, I'm not sure if that's spelt right or pronounced right, has been taken many times, and these evil people have taken it over again, and they're gathering up the Christians. So please pray that God will indeed have mercy upon them and deliver them at this time, and pray for our own people at this time too.